You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, good morning, everyone. We are opening a brand new series called The Story of Us. This is a sequel to The House of Us. No, I'm just kidding. This was not derived from the song of Taylor Swift, but the reason why we are entitling this The Story of Us is because for the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking into our origin, our story, the story of humankind as a whole. And this week, we'll talk about the origin of man. And next week, we'll talk about the fall of man. And the following week, or the third week, we'll talk about the redemption of God to the fall of humanity. And today, we'll be looking at origin and the meaning of life. If there is one question that baffles every single human being in the world, is this question: what gives life meaning? For some of us here, you're single, maybe. And you're asking God, Lord, what is the meaning of life? Lord, when I meet someone, God, finally, God, life will have meaning. Or for some of us here, if you would fulfill all your dreams, you would begin to tell God, Lord, definitely, God, life now has meaning. The reason why we ask these questions is because every single time you wake up in the morning, what are you here for? Who am I? What on earth am I here for? For some of us, if we would only get that brand new car that we've been praying to God for the past one decade, or a brand new house, and that, or how many of you here, you've tried betting in the lottery? Now, don't raise your hand. As of October 12, the pool of money is already at 1.112 billion pesos. Can you imagine that? So for some of us here, if you would tell God, Lord, if I would have this kind of money, life will be meaningful. If you think about it, we only have approximately 80 years to live. What for? 80 years to live. If you try to go to a cemetery and look at this tombstone right here, every single time you look at a tombstone, you need to look at the dash in the middle of the birth year and the death year. And begin to ask God, Lord, this is how little and how fleeting and how temporary life is. Now, if you will contemplate on that question, the question is, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Why are you waking up every single morning? The reason why we've called this the story of us is because we need to understand our personal story. We need to understand the context on why God created creation and why God created mankind. It's like going into a movie house. If you don't get to understand the context of what you're watching, everything is going to be chaotic. Everything is going to be messy. For example, if you go to the Robinson's movie world, you watch The House of Us, let's say your favorite movie, and you're 1 hour late for some reason. Maybe because you had your makeup and all that, or you were stuck in traffic. So you were 1 hour and a half late in the middle part of the movie. Guess what? Everything's not going to make sense. You would watch the movie and tell your friend, wait, why are they fighting? I mean, what happened to the girl? What happened to this man right here? Why is he crying? Everything is going to be messed up and confusing because you were not there from the very start. In the same way that our life story, we cannot fulfill our purpose if we don't know our context. We cannot begin to understand why we are created if we don't understand the context of why we were created. And no better book, no better book to refer, no better way of looking at why we were created other than the book of God, the Bible. And we are looking at the book of Genesis, the beginnings. And our passage is found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. All right, it says there, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we'll be dividing the sermon into three parts. So first one, we'll talk about our origin, and then we'll talk about our identity and our purpose. Let's talk about origin. It says there, And God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Take note of this. Let me try to highlight, then God said. If you'll think about it, every single creation in the world has this phrase right here as a point of reference. Everything in the universe originated from the very mouth of God. When God said, let there be, things come to being. This is what you call in Latin, ex nihilo. God created something out of nothing. It's not like human beings that we take a lump of clay and we create something out of the lump of clay. But God, in his essence, created something out of nothing. Everything that you see around has been spoken by God in the very beginning of time. Now, we all know that in the first 5 days, day one to day five, God created everything that is material in the world. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the plants. God created the atmosphere, the sun and the moon. Well, technically, we're not certain if one day is actually 24 hours, because if you try to look at the Bible, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day for God. But for 5 long days, God has created every single material thing in the world, perfect in every way, until God created mankind on the sixth day, the very pinnacle of his creation. We were the crown jewel, his masterpiece. If there's an icing on the cake, we were the icing on the cake. That is how much God values mankind. Imagine if this happened on the reverse. Imagine if the order of creation from day one to six was on the reverse. Imagine if man was created first. Say, for example, the Bible says in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So just try to imagine emptiness, darkness over everything, and then God created man. And voila, Adam was awakened into complete, utter darkness. And maybe he would witness God creating the birds, twing, God creating the trees, the land, and suddenly there suddenly animals appear. Oh, what are these? If it was on the reverse, that could happen. But instead, God created man when everything else was created perfectly in itself. Adam woke to behold a paradise. John Wesley once said, man, as soon as he was made, had the whole visible creation before him, both to contemplate and to take comfort of. Imagine the most beautiful place you've ever been to. Imagine the most beautiful place you've ever seen in television or in movies. Imagine all of these every single time you travel, if you love to travel. Every single time you marvel at creation, you take comfort of it. No wonder why, if you're kind of depressed, you go to the boulevard and watch the sunset. No wonder why, if you're downcast, you look at the stars, you do stargazing, and behold the beauty of God. Why? Because we behold it, and we take comfort of creation. Imagine the very handiwork of God, perfect in all its essence, without stain, without blemishes, without sin. This was what Adam was beholding. This was what Adam was looking at. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God, then what happened? The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. Imagine this. Everything was created perfectly, and the centerpiece of God's creation was the Garden of Eden. God took man, placed him in the Garden of Eden, where the tree of knowledge of good and evil was. What, for what? To work it and keep it. This gives us a picture that our role, the work that God has predestined mankind, was to tend creation, was to work creation, and to keep it. In short, our purpose is to be good stewards of the world. If you try to look at the world right now, what is happening? I have here pictures of devastation. If you'll think about it, God's intended role for man was to keep and to work on the perfect creation that he has made. And because of sin, this is what's going on in the world right now. Let's talk about purpose. Let's talk about purpose. The greatest question that baffles every single human being in history. This same question reverberates in all disciplines in the world, whether be it in physics, whether be it in philosophy, whether be it in social media or in the film or in theaters or every single piece of literature in the world baffles this kind of question. What is our purpose? Who am I? And what am I here for? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, when God created man, let us make man in our image. Take note of this. For 5 days, God created everything, and he said, let there be, and it was so. There is a difference when God says, let there, and let us. When God created the sun, he said, let there be light. Let there be an expanse in the heaven. Let there be beasts of the earth. And there was so. But when God created man, when God created you and me, he said, let us. Let us. That means that God the Father was talking and having a discussion with the other members of the Trinity, talking to the Lord Jesus, talking to the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. There was an intelligent discussion amongst the Trinity. That means man was well thought of. You were well thought of from the very mind of God. That means you're not a product of chance. If you would ask anti-creationists out there, they would label creationism as something that is absurd. And they would give you alternatives such as, you're just a random collocation of atoms. You're just a complete physical body without any soul or spirit. If you'll think about it, anti-creationists would tell us in the world that we originated from primordial soup in the beginning. And all of these random collocations of atoms becomes one single protein molecule, and one protein molecule in the slightest probability becomes a single-celled organism in the slightest probability. You would have greater chance of winning the lottery than creating such. And if you'll ask them, who has greater faith now? The Bible says that we were well thought of by God. R.C. Sproul said, the act of origin of human existence is the result of an intelligent decision of an eternal omniscient being who knows what he is doing. In short, God has created every single one of us here with a definite purpose in mind. If you are here and you think like your life is hopeless, if you're here and you think like your life is meaningless, that you are a failure, that the world will always tell you that you are a failure, that you are the black sheep of the family, guess what? You are wrong about that. Because God has a definite purpose in mind for your life. What then is our purpose? If you are not an accident, what then is our purpose? Take note of this. You are not an accident. Even if your parents would tell you that you were not planned, God planned you. God planned you in his very mind. What is our purpose? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. God created you for his glory, whom I formed and made. Our purpose was to reflect the glory of God in creation. Our purpose is to bring glory to God. The question is, does our life bring glory to God? Are the things that we do every single day reflect the glory of God? Are the things that we do in the workplace reflect the glory of God? Every single time you wake up in the morning, are your words honoring or dishonoring. You were created for the glory of God. The truth of the matter is, life is not about you. Life is not about us. Because we were created for God's glory, definitely no glory belongs to us. If you are here and you were raised up as the spoiled child of the family and you thought that life revolves around you and you're the center of the universe, guess what? You were wrong about that. Because life is never, ever about us. Let me qualify that. Every single time you take glory of the things that you do every day, you rob yourself of the purpose of God in your life. Every single time you accomplish something great in life and you don't give God the glory, you are robbing yourself of your definite purpose. Every single time you successfully pass an exam or you do something great in this lifetime and tell everyone, that's because I'm so brilliant. You are robbing yourself of your purpose. Because without purpose, life is hopeless. Without purpose, life is hopeless. So definitely, if you're robbing yourself of your purpose, everything will just be a chasing after the wind. Everything will just be insatiable because you cannot satisfy your heart. Imagine if life is about you. Just try to imagine if the world revolves around us personally. You know what? Life is going to be stressful and complicated. Insecurity will always creep in. Why? Because you would know and you would wake up in the morning knowing that there's always someone better than you. There's always someone more beautiful than you. There's always someone more intelligent than you, who speaks better than you, who preaches better than you, who leads his family better than you do. If life is about you, and if you're always thinking about yourself, what's in it for me every single time you go to your workplace? What's in it for me? In your victory group, what's in it for me? Life is gonna be messed up and chaotic and so stressful. And you'll never be good enough. Because our heart was created to be insatiable. God, the Bible says God has placed eternity in man's heart. Take note of that. God has placed eternity in man's heart. That means there is an insatiable void, a hole that is in our hearts. That's the reason why if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God, you would run after so many things in the world. You would run after disposable relationships. You would run after achievements. And these things will never suffice. Because our hearts are insatiable. Life is not about you. If you would let the world define who you are, then you'll never be good enough. The only person who has the birthright to define you is the ultimate definer himself, and that is God himself. The world should not define who you are. Let's look at how God defines man. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, he said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." In verse 27, he said, so God created man. If you'll notice, God said, let us make man. And therefore, God created man. That means man was a created being and we did not evolve. We did not evolve from chimpanzees. Or we did not evolve from a single-celled organism millions of years ago. That's absurd. Scientists would tell you, anti-creationists would tell you, that there's a 1.25% difference between the human DNA and the monkey DNA. And if you think about it, it's through that 1.25% that brings about literature, that brings about art, that brings about technology. Chimpanzees don't have that. There is an exact purpose and definite meaning for man. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 to 14, the Bible says, "For you were formed. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. When you were still in your womb, God has knitted every single part of your body for him. God has created you in the most pleasing way possible in his eyes and gave you a purpose. Wonderfully and fearfully. How many of you here, you love to travel? Of course, every one of us would love to travel. Why do we love to travel? Because we want to explore what's beyond. We don't want to stay on one certain place forever. Why? Because there's a sense of novelty in our hearts. There's a sense of newness in our hearts to explore something new every single day, to explore the majesty of God's creation. Just like these pictures right here. We go abroad, we go beyond barriers to marvel what God has created. You go to the seas, you look at the aurora lights and all of these things. You know what? Augustine has a case for that. Augustine, in his book Confessions, says, "I am lost in wonder when I consider this problem. It bewilders me, yet men go out and gaze in astonishment at high mountains, the huge waves of the sea, the broad reaches of rivers, the ocean that encircles the world, or the stars in their courses, but they pay no attention to themselves." As what I've said earlier, man was the pinnacle of God's creation. If you look at your own DNA, there are millions of information in one single DNA. If you look at yourself, how complicated your human body is, yet functions in a definite purpose. The same God who fashioned all of these things in the world were the same God who has placed his image on human beings like you and me. God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." In Latin, this is what you call imago Dei. Imago Dei. Image comes from the Hebrew word tselem, which actually means something that is cut out. Something that represents you. If, for example, if you see a bust of Jose Rizal in the park, or you see statues like these, Abraham Lincoln or Bruce Lee in Hong Kong, every single time you look at all of these images, these things represent the real person. That means they were created for other people to look at them that way forever. That is kind of like their physical legacy. The people who created them want them to be resembled in that specific kind of way. Guess what? The Bible says God has placed his image on you and me. That means we are his representation on earth. Every single time you go out there in the world, you bring with you imago Dei. If you try to look at the world right now, what are the evidences of imago Dei in man? Think about our moral aspect. Every single man in the world, whether be it in history or in the present or in the future, has an inner sense of right and wrong. Every single tribe in the world, every single race in the world in history has their own law, has established a judiciary system that determines what is right and what is wrong. This is something that evolutionists cannot explain. Why do I know that it's wrong to murder? Why do I know, even if I don't know God, even if you don't have any written code of law, why do you know that it's wrong to steal, that it's wrong to murder, that it's wrong to covet something that is not yours? That is the moral law that God carved out in your very heart. That is imago Dei right there. That is the very likeness of God, that he is a moral God, and God has made us in his likeness. Guess what? Animals can't do that. Animals can't murder and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I murdered my prey." Or a lion would tell his fellow lion, "You know what? I feel sorry today because I just ate a chimpanzee." Animals don't have that kind of moral sense. Only man has that kind of sense. Mental aspect. In the mental realm, if you try to look at the world right now, God is an intelligent designer. God is an intelligent being, and He created man as intelligent. If you look at the advent of technology, if you travel and find out the state-of-the-art technology that are in the world right now, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed on how intelligent a designer man is. That is the Imago Dei that is present in the heart of man. In arts, in literature, in the sciences. Where did we get all these intelligence? It's from the Imago Dei. The third one, our spiritual aspect. Our spiritual aspect. God is spirit. He created us as spirits also. God did not create animals in His likeness, and therefore, animals don't have spirits. You won't see your dead dog in heaven because they were not made in the image and likeness of God. But what you'll see there is every single human being who knows the Lord Jesus, who has eternity in his heart. Eternity has been placed in our hearts because we are eternal creatures. And this is the same spiritual aspect that God has given us to commune with Him. No wonder why every single man in the world, whether you are a Christian, knows for certain that there is a God. Even if you are an atheist, you cannot deny the fact that there is a God. There's just something in you, in your very being, in your very heart, that tells you there is someone greater than you. There is a being that is greater than everything that you see around. That is eternity in your heart. No wonder why all people in the world have their own religion. Every single place, every single country you go, there is always one major religion. Whether it be Islam, whether it be Hinduism, whether it be Buddhism. Well, every single time, if you don't bring honor to God, you create your own God. You create your own God because of this insatiableness in your heart. If you happen to find an uncharted island off radar, off the grid, guess what? If there's a tribe living in that lone island, guess what? One thing is for sure. They'll be worshiping something or someone. Either they'll be worshiping rocks or mountains, or worshiping their sultan or their head, or worshiping the skies. God has placed eternity in man's heart, and only God can fill that up. As I end, man was created in the image and likeness of God. But when sin entered the world, this image in us has been marred and has been tainted. Yes, you still have the image of God in you. The image of God is still in mankind, but this image is quite blurry. This image is quite tainted. And this is what sin does to Imago Dei. Yes, you are still intelligent. Yes, you are still moral. Yes, you still know what right is from wrong. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, we all have become one who is unclean, talking about the world. And all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Guess what? The Bible says, well, whatever good you think you've accomplished, whatever good you think you've created, whatever good work you do apart from Jesus Christ, the Bible says these are like polluted garments. Think about the greatest work of charity in the world of, let's say, a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim. And he has contributed so great in charity. Guess what? The Bible says, apart from Jesus, they are like polluted garments. They are but filthy rags. They don't bring glory to God. polluted garments don't bring glory to God. Our purpose is to bring glory to God. That is who we are. We reflect the glory of God. But polluted garments don't bring glory to God. We are being robbed of our purpose. This is the reason why we need Jesus Christ. This is the reason why we need Jesus, because apart from Jesus, every single good work you do, however good in itself it may seem, is but a filthy rag and does not glorify God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The image of God tainted in us, guess what? God clothed himself with flesh and blood to tell to the world that this is the Imago Dei, that this is what it's like to be the image and likeness of God. That whoever believes in Jesus, whoever believes in what he has done on the cross, will not perish but have eternal life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those who God foreknew, talking about you and me, talking about the elect of God, talking about those who trusted in God, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to conform in the image of his Son. Every single day in sanctification, every single day, if you are in Christ, you are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which is God himself, thereby restoring Imago Dei in our lives, thereby reflecting the glory of God. Thereby, that's the reason why every single time you worship and praise God, these are but an aroma to God, because he is pleased. Every single time you look at yourself in the mirror, and if you are in Christ, the Bible says God is pleased with you as he is pleased with Jesus. In the same way, when the Holy Spirit descended into Jesus, when he was baptized, and God said, I am here, this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Guess what? In Jesus Christ, God can confidently tell you, this is my Son, this is my daughter, whom I am so well pleased. Sin came through the first Adam, but life comes through the last Adam, the last man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As I end in 1 Corinthians chapter 45, verse 49, thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural. And then the spiritual, talking about Jesus. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne in the image of man the dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. At the end of the day, our purpose is to glorify God. And this purpose can only be found in Jesus Christ. Your purpose is to glorify God, and this can only happen in Jesus.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.